Microsoft overtakes Apple to becoming the world's most valuable company? Really? How? Like, that's a real, that's a legit question. How?
Hit the music. Explosions.
I guess we're starting here.
We're starting right here, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Streams. And actually, you know what? Before we really, really start here, make sure you guys do check out Buzz TV.
Buzz TV.
Check the description below. Buzz TV's got some good stuff, some great, great sales going on right now. Check our description below. You guys will get a good hookup with Buzz TV, one of the leading streaming devices out there. And also, make sure you guys get that VPN deal in the description below. Protect that ass.
That ass.
You never know. You never know when you need it. So
you never know who's sniffing it.
All right. Let's see. This is kind of cool.
I didn't even know that that was a format. Okay. Yeah, all right.
All right. What do you got?
So, I mean, we've done topics in the past of Apple hitting $1 trillion in market cap and then $2 trillion in market cap. And $2 trillion is a very, very big number. They've been leading as the most valuable company for a few years now. And it's just interesting to see that Microsoft has overthrown them. So it says Microsoft surpasses Apple's market cap on Friday to become the world's most valuable public company. The change follows Apple's Thursday's earning, where the company posted strong results, but revealed that it lost $6 billion to supply chain constraints. Wow. On Tuesday, Microsoft also shared positive earnings boosted by Office, Windows, and its cloud products. Now that makes complete sense. I mean, right now we're living in a world where supply and demand when it comes to physical products and merchandise is suffering due to, you know, shipments. Containers are quadruple the price of what they used to be, and they're just taking so much longer, as well as, you know, everything that we've gone through with, you know, the bear flu and everything else. It's been very difficult for companies that rely on physical transportation of their products and merchandise to maintain that high level of sales, right? So when Microsoft comes in now and they have virtual or digital products such as Office, Windows 11 just got released, and their other cloud-based products, it only makes sense that they would be making more sales, as it's easier to do so digitally than Apple is. So it says that Microsoft's market cap was almost $2.5 trillion, while Apple's was at $2.46 trillion. I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's still a lot.
When you have that many zeros.
Right. So I thought this was pretty interesting. It gives you an idea of what's going on really at the top of the food chain when it comes to tech companies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big time. Big time. I wanted to share. So anybody out there that's listening, make sure you guys watch this, because I'm going to try something brand new with Next Level. And this is like legit. I do need his help with something. He doesn't know yet what it is, but I'm going to try doing something towards the, maybe not the end, maybe halfway through this, we're going to jump into it. So we'll see where this goes, but I really do need some help on some stuff, but I wanted people to understand how it is that we work when it's just like, dude, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this? Which we've done in the past a lot, but we've never really recorded ourselves like going back and forth about something. So,
okay.
Halfway through. You'll see.
Is that now?
No, not yet. Oh. Is that now? Now, ready? Okay. So I did want to do, because we have the whole general tech thing coming, I did want to bring this one back in. Remember this guy, the little household robot?
Yeah.
So this is listed at $999.99. It's $1,000. I don't know. Like, look, it's not $1,000, not by one penny. So this thing is your Astro. Okay. So if you guys don't know, I'm a Dodger fan. I like the Dodgers baseball team, and the Astros, the Houston Astros, are the ones that got caught cheating a few years back, and it cost the Dodgers the World Series. Well, the World Series just ended, and the Atlanta Braves beat the Houston Astros in the World Series. Thank the Lord. I am happy that the Astros lost. Now, I kind of wish they would have named this thing a little different, because I don't like Astro, you know?
Makes me think of the cartoon.
Yeah, the Jetsons.
The boy with the hair? No, the boy with the hair. Wasn't he Astro too?
Which boy with the hair?
He was like an android? Man, I'm going to have to Google this now.
I think of Astro, the dog from the Jetsons. I think that's what his name was. Maybe you're thinking about the Jetsons, but the sun.
No.
Is the sun named Astro? Maybe the sun's name is Astro. Oh maybe God. That's
what I think I got the name wrong. I can't even find it.
Look up the Jetsons.
Oh, it's this guy. Yeah, Astro Boy.
Oh, Astro Boy. Okay,
that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
So it's cool. It monitors your home. Unlock more. It has like this huge antenna where it's like scanning, and it just kind of roams around.
Who makes this?
Amazon.
Really?
This is Amazon's.
It looks like a broom and a dustpan that's motorized.
You could even unlock more. Activate your 6-month free trial of Ring Protect. Didn't Amazon buy Ring?
Yeah.
Well, so I think this is under that umbrella, the whole Ring thing by Amazon. So it's by invitation only. I've seen several reviews on this thing already. This is day one edition. I'm still a little bit creeped out that you do get a little thing that roams around, you know, but
it's better that than when they were trying to do those stupid drones, right?
Oh, they still have those.
Oh my God. Do they? I want to know the sales on that shit.
Me too.
And they tried to do that for your car too, didn't they?
Yeah. Imagine that sound like a little fly coming next to you.
This is crazy. I don't understand. That car thing is dumber.
That's ridiculous. Now, check this out. Introducing Amazon Smart Air Quality Monitor. Know your air.
I like this. It
works with your Alexa device. So this is like I've done reviews on purifiers and humidifiers and all that stuff. Yeah. This would be very cool because it reads your CO. It reads all your CO stuff. It reads your air quality, like your carbon monoxide and stuff. So
the average person, the only kind of air filtration that we have is like our furnace or like our air filter downstairs at our furnace unit. Right. Mm-hmm. And we just know, okay, 3-4 months it's time to change it. But it'd be kind of cool if there was something that was checking the quality of your air and it'd be like, yo, dumbass, time to change your filter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Look at that, dude. With the app, it says indoor quality. And it gives you a rating. This is nice, dude. So it's supposed to read particulate matter, PM.
How?
Your volatile organic compounds, VOCs, your carbon monoxide, your CO, humidity, and the temperature. So I'm guessing if you have this in your...
You would need it in every main location of your house.
Yeah. So typically... with your kitchen, most kitchens and living rooms are attached together, you know?
Yeah.
They're like right next to each other. So with me, with my kitchen, I actually have my Echo Show, the one with the screen on the little island. And if you're on this side of the island, you're in the kitchen. If you're on this side of the island, you're in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
I would put this right there in the middle just because it's one or the other, you know? And I'm constantly in one of those rooms. I would also want it upstairs for my bedroom. So if I'm going to bed, if I'm going to sleep, I'm breathing. Like if you think about which rooms you spend the most in, your bedroom is one of the most spent rooms. You're supposed to sleep about 8 hours a day, supposed to.
For sure.
But if you're sleeping and you don't know what's going on, this is actually really nice to have. $60, and it's only $70, man. Honestly. this item will be released December 8th, so you could pre-order this now.
Yeah, that's not a bad price. I would probably, because you know what? People buy carbon monoxide detectors for like $20-$30 anyways, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not even smart. So I think that there is some value to this product for sure.
Yeah. So it's pretty neat, pretty neat. Okay. We did talk about this just recently. This was in our What the Hell reel. If you guys missed our What the Hell episode, make sure you guys go back for what the hell is going on in November. And wanted to share this because I thought this was actually kind of cool. Oh, like, check this out. This is neat. See that? Look at the difference on this one.
Yeah, that one's better. Yeah.
I kind of like that. I like that. So check this out. DJI Action 2.
Oh, yeah.
What this is, and you see here, it's that little monitor, that little eyeball right there. And then it has a magnet to connect the thing on the bottom. But if you guys haven't seen it, you could actually connect, look at this, you can connect this, it's all magnetic. And the way they have it set up, it's, dude, even the freaking underwater, dude, this is nuts. The way you have it set up is pretty nice. It is $519. You get you get both screens. You get the eyeball with the screen in the back, and then you get the front-facing camera that's connected on the bottom for $500, which is a pretty good freaking deal. Now, I did have a few people, actually, one of my buddies says he wanted to get it, but he wasn't sure because people were crying about how hot it was. There's a vlogger that tested this thing out and said, you know what? I'm testing it out in the real world. Like, he went vlogging with it. He was in Alaska. He went to Utah, to Idaho, and he was real world using it. And he's like, this thing didn't get hot. And some people that made video reviews on the DJI Action 2 said that it got extremely hot. I think one person even put cheese on it and it started to melt. But what they did was, this is what they did. They had the camera, they set it right here, and they left it on for an hour. And it's just like, dude, are you really going to be talking to the camera for an hour? You know what I mean?
Right.
What I did was, remember when I went to for my birthday up to Yosemite and I rented an RV?
Yeah.
I had a windshield thing that I could stick my Osmo Action, the first one. And I put time lapse so it would record everything really, really fast as I'm driving for a couple hours. But it for me, it was a couple hours. For you, it'd be like 10 seconds, you know? But it was cool because I got that done. And the lens did get hot because it was just sitting there for hours recording. But that's like everything. If you have your phone running for an hour, just straight, you're using it, your phone will get hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure DJI will address that for people who are using it for that length amount of time. But for the people who are actually using it in real life situations, it's not a big deal. And they actually showed the GoPro 10, I think it is, and this one side by side, dude, this Action 2 was, it was on a different level, man. The quality was just so nice. The colors are so vibrant. It looked more real life than fake, I guess, you know?
Yeah, DJI has always come with quality, man. All their products have been, you know, very significant when it comes to their quality. I mean, I have the DJI gimbal and the mm-hmm. quality has been pretty good. And there's so many different variations. It's almost like they try to reinvent themselves every time they come out with a new product. And I really like them. I really like their products because of that creativity, right? They really think, what is the world scenario for using this product? Like, if we were using it for ourselves, how would we want to design it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, I watched this video, this guy that reviews stuff and travels and vlogs. And I'm like, cool, because that's kind of what I'm doing also. I haven't really done too much on my channel and I'm slowly building it up to that. But one of the things that he made a good point for my Osmo Action, when I put it onto my windshield, I have to unscrew it, take it off, unhook the case for it, and then take out the little camera and then put it on the next thing. Or I keep the case on because it uses the same bracket. I could just use that. This thing, because it's magnetic, you set up your stand. Like, he has like three spots in his car, one on the side, one on the shield, one in the back. All he did was snap off, snap on, snap right. off, snap on. He just bing, 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 bing. He just, you know, just moved it around like that easily. I'm like, dude, that's freaking awesome. And, right, you know, it's like, that's what you want. That's what you need, like simplicity. So I like it a lot. I'm going to be getting it. I'm going to be reviewing it. Yeah. What do you got? I know you said you found a couple things that you wanted to share too.
So, it's been teased in the, I guess, market, which was a really odd time to come out with this, but Intel said that they wanted to compete in the graphics card market, which is super interesting because the timing is really weird for me, because I feel like, how are we going through a shortage and all of a sudden Intel's like, bam, we got product. You know what I mean? Like, it feels a little weird. At the same time, it's like, that's good because we need it. But I guess they have their own suppliers and they've been holding out, because right before this, NVIDIA was getting into the processors market, and now Intel's getting into the graphics card market. It's interesting stuff. Let me pull up a picture, because the image of the graphics card just got leaked. So I'm just going to show you what it looks like, and we'll talk about that really, really briefly. And then we'll go into kind of the state of the GPU market right now, because I am very heavily invested in the GPU market. So it says these might be the first leaked photos of Intel's Arc Alchemist graphics card. So it looks very, very plain, simple, but you don't need graphics cards to look all fancy as long as they work. It says Intel is building dedicated gaming graphics card due out in the first quarter of 2022. That's actually not that far away, guys. We're like, what, 3-4 months away? And we may have gotten our first look at the big one. This is their Arc Alchemist. Here are some leaked images from YouTuber Moore's Law is Dead. There's the back of it. You can see there's the chip there, and then the heatsink, the PCI. So you got two PCIe plugs. One's an 8-pin and one's a 6-pin. I kind of like the way it looks. I don't really need all the fancy flashy RGBs and all that kind of crazy stuff. And I do think that we need, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but we need another company producing graphics cards right now. Like, the prices have gotten so astronomical that, you know, when you're building a PC now, it's like 90% of your budget is your graphics card. The other 10% is the other crap. So it says that the Arc Alchemist is the first GPU in the company's roadmap that actually scheduled to release. The company had previously built the Intel DG1 to test the GPU waters, but that was comparatively a weak card based on the XELP, or low power graphics architecture, and consumers couldn't actually buy it. The new card is part of Intel's Xe HPG roadmap, high power gaming, and is said to deliver performance that are similar to the RTX 3070, thanks to the 512 execution units, the EUs, and the 16 gigabytes of DDR6 memory. Now,
that's a big claim right there.
It is a big claim, but I'm happy that it chose the sweet spot of the 3070, right? Honestly, I have 3090s, I have 3080s, and I think that they're overkill for the average consumer. The 3060s is an entry-level card, and I think the enthusiast gamer needs more than a 3060. When it comes to the 3060 Ti, those are pretty much just a 3070, and a 3070 is obviously a 3070, but I think the 3070 and the 3060 Ti is a sweet spot when it comes to gaming. Like, an enthusiast gamer is going to want that level of performance and the 16 gigs of DDR6 memory. So I think that them going for that specific sweet spot is going to be beneficial for them. They're going to get the most amount of traffic, and I think it's going to work out really well for them. So it shows that their roadmap here, I don't really know how this works. I don't know if the XE2 HPG and the XE3 means that these are higher performance. Yes, performance. So we have a graph here, and it shows performance and the roadmap. So they're starting with their entry level, So their entry level is like a 3070 in regards to the NVIDIA's performance. And then it goes to their XE2, which they're calling the Battle Mage. Their names are kind of nice. So you have Alchemist, which is their starting level, which is a 3070. I'm going to assume you're looking at a 3070 Ti or a 3080, which is the Battle Mage. And then they have Celestial, which is an XE3 APG or HPG. And I'm guessing that's like a 3080. And then Druid is their XE Next architecture. And that's probably going to be around your 3090s. So I'm excited to see what Intel is going to be able to accomplish. I think that they're going to have to make a big statement coming into the GPU market for sure, because there's so much competition in the GPU market right now. Like, and the sad part is these GPU companies are competing with themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, why does NVIDIA have the 3060, 3060 Ti, 3070, 3070 Ti, 3080, 3080 Ti, 3090, and potentially a 3090 Ti coming out soon? Mm-hmm. Like, why do we have so many SKUs?
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about Intel's stuff, because when I look at their chipset, I like AMD.
For sure. I agree with you.
I've been on this AMD kick since like 2004, you know, like early 2000s. I've been on AMD, and people weren't really giving them a chance back in the day. They're just like, oh, Intel i3 beast mode or Intel Black or whatever. I'm just like, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to spend a hell of a lot less money, and I'm going to get same amount of power and less issues, you know, and AMD really started to come out, I would say, probably within the last decade.
Yeah, for sure.
And I've never been, I don't want to say I've never been. If you want to look at the last 10 years and Intel says, hey, we got a new chipset, I'm like, whatever. I'm not excited about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
If they come into this market with graphics cards, I'm excited when NVIDIA says, hey, we got this new GeForce RTX 3000, 480, whatever. That's like, you know, it's like cool. Like, how much more power am I getting off of this? So I'm curious. I don't know if I'm excited yet. I'm curious. If they do come out and say, hey, 3080 NVIDIA, guess what? We have something that works just as powerful as you guys, maybe at a little bit of a budget or price, like a little bit cheaper, because remember, you guys are coming brand new into this market. Mm-hmm. Don't slap a price like you guys have owned this market. Come in at like $200 cheaper on what the 3080 and GeForce would be. If they can do that and they could perform either just as close or better or as good, anywhere where it's very, very similar, there's going to be a big hype. If they come into the market saying like, cool, GeForce 3080 is what, $2,000? Cool, we're going to be $2,000 also. Nope. I won't do it, because this will be their first, you know, they're barely coming into the market with their graphics cards. I'm going to go with something that I've loved already this entire time. They gotta entice me. They gotta buy me in. If they come in saying like, hey, sure, you guys are gonna be $2,000, guess what? We're selling it for $1,700. At that point I might be like, ooh, 17, huh? And you guys are saying it's the same power? Okay, I'll try it. I'll try it. I'll, you know, hey, give me a couple of them. Let me see.
I can relate to a lot of things you said. So when I first got into PCs in general, I couldn't afford an Intel. So mm-hmm. I started off with Athlons, right? And that's where I started. And that's where I started learning about, you know, PC parts and repairing PCs. And it was all AMDs, really. I never was really messing around with Intel. So I was always kind of told that AMD is just as good as Intel, but cheaper. And the only time, like back in the day when you first got into AMD, you were always told by the interwebs and by people that would work on computers is that AMD is just as good. Unless you're overclocking it, you might have overheating issues. But I mean, shit, you overclock anything, it's going to produce more heat. So you should have the sense to, if I'm overclocking, I need to put a better cooler. You know what I mean? Like, there's, it's tit for tat. Like, you do some shit, you be prepared for the repercussions of it. But what I'm kind of interested, and I'm kind of looking forward to seeing, is I need Intel to strike back now. They've been laying dormant this whole time that AMD has been whipping their ass, right? And they need to do something significant to really say, hey, we're still Intel. And unless Intel does it, then AMD gets too comfortable. And I think that unless Intel strikes back significantly, then AMD could end up replaying what Intel was like for the last decade. Mm-hmm. Intel's upgrades were really lackluster. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see AMD go down that route.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I said in my introduction to this topic that I would get a little bit into GPUs in the market right now, because it's actually quite insane. So I'm going to spit out some numbers, and they're going to be in Canadian. We'll try to give an estimation, but I've been trying to buy graphics cards because, as you guys know, I do some crypto mining. And what I'm seeing is people. So I went to Best Buy last week. Best Buy had a graphics card drop. People started lining up 8 p.m. the night before. Over 60 people lining up outside. And it was the first time I decided to go to a Best Buy drop like this. So I didn't know how it works. So I was like, you know what? I'm not lining up at night for a graphics card. I'm not doing it. So I showed up at 9 o'clock in the morning. The Best Buy's here open at 11. And I just wanted to check out the situation. I drove an hour and a half away from where I live, out of the city to somewhere that's not as busy. And there still was a lineup around the corner. But what Best Buy did was, 6 o'clock in the morning, when their associate came in, which I don't even know their associates came in that early, they came outside and they handed out tickets to the first 50 people. And like, you get first dibs on these graphics cards.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. And they slapped a sign on their door saying sold out, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
So these people lined up at 8 p.m. the night before, 6 a.m. they got tickets, and then they were able to leave, come back later on in that day and claim whatever cards they wanted, right? And I actually got to talk to an associate when I showed up, and he's like, hey, I have some 3080 Ti's. Do you want them? So Canadian price, they were charging, I think, somewhere around $2,000 for, no, they were more expensive, like $2,300. For a 3080 Ti. That's retail. Turning around now, I see them on, you know, the buy and sells here for $2,500, $2,600, $2,800 immediately. Where the big price increases are is when it comes to mining. You're seeing some of the older cards that don't have the hash rate limiters. At least for myself, I see people trying to gouge 3080 cards for 3090 prices, and even more expensive than 3090 prices. Mm. It's absolutely insane. And it's like they understand the market, so they know how to upsell, because when it comes to mining productivity, you're looking at a 3090 being able to do 120 mega hash a second on Ethereum. And then you're looking at a 3080 that can do 100, right? But the price is a lot cheaper, and you can fit a lot more cards at a lot better of a wattage of 3080s on a rig. So it makes more sense to go with 3080s than it does for 3090s. And people know this, so they're charging almost like double or triple for these cards. It's absolutely insane. It's insane. I see people, like, I've gotten to the point now where I'm like looking at this stuff and I'm like, what makes sense as a crypto miner to buy? Because I'm seeing cards like the 2080 Supers being sold for higher of a price than a 3060. And a 3060 is a newer card. So which way would you go? Would you go with a used 2080 Ti or a Super? Or would you go with a brand new card? Now, the 2080 Ti or Super can do slightly better mining productivity than a 3060, but the 3060, it's not used, better power consumption, Like it's you have to really sit there and be like, what do I want to do with what I'm building? Because mm-hmm. like I'm saying, I'm seeing some of these 2080 supers and TIs at $300-$400 more than the 3060. It's insane.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys are trying to get into the graphics card market. I don't know what my message to you is, because to be honest, I feel like this isn't going to get any better. They're saying that the supplies aren't going to be able to suit the demand until sometime in 2023. Mm-hmm. So what that tells me is no matter what they drop, the prices are going to continue to go up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's crazy. Luck. And I know we've had this combo where I'm just like, dude, I want to get started into doing some of this stuff.
Yeah.
So I know I got OfferUp. I know I want to stay away from like eBay and Amazon just because I know there's price gouging, and I want to see if I can get an OfferUp or some garage sale or something. The only thing is, I don't know if I'm getting a working graphics card or not.
And that's what, like, for me, when I deal with people now, I ask them, I'm like, can I see it working? Mm-hmm. Can you show me it working? I know it sounds weird. Like, can I come into your house and see your computer? But a lot of these people have like mining rigs or computers in the garage now just for this shit. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't feel bad about asking, or at least show me your computer screen with the information of the card and the time and the date. You know what I mean? Like give me something.
Give me something. Yeah. Let me verify that it does work. So yeah. So coming soon. Cause I definitely want to get into this thing. Okay. So I need some help. I seriously need some help, like for real. I know this depends. There's a lot of factors where this is going to depend on, but I need some help in getting a good router.
A router.
Hmm. I just found out, supposedly, and this is why I want to pick three. Because I'm going to call my ISP and say, hey, is this compatible with you guys? Or are you guys going to be stupid about it? Because, you know, they have to allow it. Like, once I connect it, they got to say, yeah, okay, this is fine.
They need your MAC address, right? For the router?
So, I want to find... So, the current router that I have is a triple combo. 2.4 gigs, 5 gigs, and Wi-Fi 6. I get all three of them. Problem is, and these are, I don't know why they call them smart routers, because it's not smart. It's stupid.
Mm.
I had a Blue Rams security camera. I got this guy, the Blue Rams security camera.
Yeah.
And nice. A lot of smart tech.
2.4.
So I hooked it up. I went to try to connect to it. And then it says, I'm having issues connecting to your Wi-Fi. I'm like, why? It needs to be on 2.4. I'm like, well, this thing is supposed to tell you it's okay. I'm looking for your signal. Cool. Here's the signal. Oh, this is a smart device. 2.4. That should be default. I had to bring my Wi-Fi extender upstairs. I made it a repeater, a Wi-Fi repeater.
Yeah.
I changed it because it only gives you 2.4. So I changed the name of it so I can connect it directly to that one. Period. So this is what happened. I was able to finally connect to it. But the problem is the rest of my house, sometimes it drops internet. Everything it connects to, it automatically defaults to 2.4. And I've asked them, can I have access to switch it where I can create three freaking networks? I don't want just one and you decide what it wants. No, I want to split it. I want to split the freaking ranges. And they said, oh, sure, just open up the app and you should be able to have access to it. I'm like, I don't.
You got to turn off band staring. Is there an option to turn off band staring?
Nope.
What?
So, here we go. Smart home.
What's the name of the router that you have right now?
It's one from Spectrum. And you know how you have to go to 1.192.55, whatever the hell the number is? Yeah. You can't, because what it does, it redirects you. And you can't see my bright ass phone. It redirects you to the app. Let me connect back to my router. So it automatically goes Wi-Fi 6 on my phone. So let's go to services. Let's go to, I'll give you, I think I could pull the serial number on this thing, or I could give you exactly the model number on this thing. So here's my thing. I don't know if you can see that or not, but it has modem, router, manage devices, and then that. So it's going to be this guy right here, my router for my Wi-Fi. So then it gives me this information.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see that or not.
View and edit network something.
Yeah, view and edit network info. Actually, yeah. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and open up my Logitech camera so I could just focus on the app and not just me. Okay. That good?
I think so. Okay, then click on that. And what does it say?
Okay, so if I do click on this, it says, well, nice.
Edit.
No, it has. Yeah. So don't want to show all my info there.
Okay.
Edit network info, right? So when I do edit network info, I don't know if it's going to show. So it says you could, I could change the name of it and I could change the password to it. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Weird.
The model number on this thing, so the manufacturer is SERCOMM, and the model is SAX, like sax, saxophone.
Yeah.
1V1R. Now, there is a thing here called manage devices, and when I click on that, it shows like all the devices connected to the router. That's it. There is an advanced settings. When I click on advanced settings, I get those options. So I get port forwarding and IP reservations, UPnP, DNS server, and factory reset. But I can't do the, I can't split all the.
Have you tried logging in from a browser?
On my, actually, no, I haven't tried that.
You might see different options versus the app.
What is it? 192.168.
.2.1, depending on the modem. Sometimes it's different.
Isn't it .1.142 or? I know I wrote it down on my cell phone somewhere. Let me see if I can find it.
192.168.2.1.
192.168.2.1.1.1.
No two. Did it work?
It says unsecure, advance, proceed.
Or
so,
yeah.
I get, yeah, this is exactly what I got before on my phone.
Well, fine then. Be that way.
Yeah. It says download the app. And then it gives you my MAC address, my IPV, the serial number, the model, the connected pods. But it says download the app. That's how I can manage it. Problem is not letting me manage it.
That's so weird that it's not letting you turn off band steering. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a way. I know on my ISP's router, it has a checkbox that doesn't necessarily say band steering. My checkbox says keep Wi-Fi network names the same. And I uncheck that to disable band steering.
Yeah. So because of the router that I have, it doesn't do that.
It's dumb. Get rid of it. Throw in the garbage.
Right. So that's where I need your help. That's where I'm like, cool. Help me. I'm looking for a router that does the Wi-Fi 6. I do love the Wi-Fi 6. The Wi-Fi 6 on my phone is great.
Yeah.
But I want to get. See, this one covers up to 20 devices. Bro, I got like 42 devices connected to my house. So I need something that's going to connect to a lot of devices. This Netgear Wi-Fi 6 router, AX wireless speed, up to 1.8 gigs, covers up to 1,500 square feet, which is good. I kind of want a little bit bigger of a range. I want like 2,000 square feet if possible.
Didn't you have some of those companies send you some?
Oh, to do like a mesh?
Yeah.
With the mesh, okay, so right now my brain's like completely fried. When I'm looking at the mesh, I could set up different 2.4, 5, and 6.
I don't see why not. You're like, You have so much shit there. You got to have the answer to your problem. I'm just saying.
I have this Rockspace mesh system. Yeah. I need a router still, though, don't I?
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Okay. You should just be able to connect that. Where'd you go?
I'm still here.
Oh, hi, everybody. Yeah, so I believe what he's doing is going to get his Rockspace box to read the information, but you should just be able to plug it into the back of your modem, and then you would be able to distribute your internet through your mesh system on your... Is it Rockspace?
Yeah.
Through your Rockspace. I would try that. Like, why spend money if you have some stuff that could get you through there? Because that Rockspace, I think it was something stupid, like 6,000 square feet or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So go that route.
Okay. So I got the wireless.
That is a router.
This is the router.
Yeah. So you got a router right there.
And then I also have a mesh. Which is 6,000. I guess what are we looking for? Does it do the Wi-Fi 6 on this one? Pretty sure it does. This is a 3-pack. Signal speeds, it does the... Oh, no, so it's only 5 gigs and 2.4.
Yeah.
What's inside? 3 mesh units, 1 gigabyte Ethernet cable. So this will go directly into the modem, right?
Yeah, for sure. It'll go into your modem. But, I mean, it depends on, do you want to spend more money? If you do, then go get a Wi-Fi 6 compatible device. If you don't, then this might be able to carry you. Let's be real. Not a lot of devices are Wi-Fi 6 yet. Not a lot of them. Some of them are. So... Who knows? By the time most of your devices are Wi-Fi 6, Rockspace will be sending you another one.
Well, I do got the router that's Wi-Fi 6.
So why don't you try that?
The router?
See, try that first.
Because the thing is that all my devices outside still need to be I have devices outside that are far. They're not, they're like my, I have two security cameras that are like in the corner of our lot. They're pretty far from the router and they connect, but barely.
So why don't you try both?
Don't I need to call them to connect it?
Well, it depends on your ISP. Usually you would need to call and connect them if you're replacing the modem, not the router. It's different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because right now, if you just like, if you're just adding a router to your home network, the internet is still coming into the ISP's device, and then you're choosing how it's redistributed. Now, it could be different depending on your ISP, but generally, it should be okay, I would think.
Can also work with your Alesa device. Interesting. So I'm gonna, let me give you the serial number so that way you can look this up while I'm opening this up.
Okay.
This is from Rockspace. The model is R as in Rojas, S as in Steve, D as in D's nuts. And then I think it's 06 08 10.
Oh, 10?
Yeah. So while Next Level is doing this, it says it's okay. So it says there's an app that I'll need to get. Scan this thing for the app. Scan to download RS Wi-Fi. So it should be just plug and play then. I should just plug it into my modem and that's it. Now, I remember playing with this thing like a year ago. So I'm kind of like, how do I do this again? Bum, bum, bum. Opening it up. And if this thing works, I am going to do a follow-up video. It'll be very interesting if we can get this thing going. Now, I do have to say this. The router is good. It doesn't seem like high end. If it feels good, you know. These guys, these are the mesh. The mesh feels, again, it doesn't feel like premium. It feels a little budget though. Like it feels like the plastic just feels like plastic, you know.
Honestly, I would try out both the router and the mesh, because mm-hmm. the mesh is going to work with your smart devices. It's going to run the 2.4. The router is going to give you your 6 so that it works with your smartphone and your other devices that are 6. But those mesh things are really meant for the things that are far away, which would most likely be using your 2.4 anyways. I would try that. I think that's a good solution for now if you can get it working.
I should be able to create different
connections. You should be able to.
Now there's one. Okay. So there's two connections in the back here.
Yeah.
One of them, the one with the blue globe, I'm guessing that goes to the modem.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the one with the two lines, that's if I need to connect.
If you need to daisy chain something to it, right?
If I need to add like extra ports and stuff.
Yeah. So I think it's like a power light adapter almost where you can interchange all three of the mesh pods that they gave you. So any of them can be attached to the modem. And then the other side, you can, you know what I mean? They all three of them should be the exact same.
Now, once one is connected, the other ones, I just put power and that's it.
I believe so, but you'll have to log into their Wi-Fi LAN to set up the SSID for that mesh network. At least that's how I would assume. I haven't actually used those, so generally that's how it works.
I'm telling you, it's been a year since I've messed.
You know what? I hear Rojas did a video on it, and he should be able to walk you through setting it up.
That now see if I can find that damn video, because it was on my old device.
old device, old channel.
Yeah, if I can get my whole old channel back.
Yeah, right.
Good old YouTube. Okay, so I think, well, the good thing is I've saved everything. So here's a 24/7 help. There's the QR code. Here's a little user manual. So it looks like it's, like, from what I remember, it was literally just plug and play. Okay, so here's your WAN LAN port. That's your internet. The LAN port, that's if you're going to daisy chain stuff on it. I need to find, you know what? I have several things connected hardwired into the router. And I do have a daisy chained
switch
Ethernet. I'm going to have to buy another, a second one or a bigger one.
Yeah. I mean, switches are cheap, bro. You can get a gigabit LAN switch for like $20. They're cheap.
I'm trying to think. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm going to need at least 10 extra plugs.
Yeah. I have like a 50-foot Ethernet cable running from that side of my apartment all the way over here, where I have a 10-port gigabit switch for all of my devices on this side of my apartment. So yeah, I know the pain.
Okay, so
but yeah, honestly, I would go that route, and I would see, because that could save you, you know, some of these Wi-Fi 6 modems are several hundred dollars, almost getting up to $1,000, depending on how much you want to burn a hole into your pocket. So yeah. I would go that route first, see if it works for your current situation. And if it does, then you're good. There's two scenarios. One is it works great for your smart home devices, but you want a better Wi-Fi 6 connection. And at that point, you can just switch out the Wi-Fi 6 router, right? You can probably still keep the mesh system.
Do you think I could connect the mesh into the router?
Yeah, you should be able to. You should be able to.
So I'll have the router and the mesh.
Yeah. Why don't you just try it with your current modem and just the mesh system?
That's kind of what I was thinking. Get rid of the, because the thing is the router is going to have all the different connections.
Yeah, because it's going to be like three different devices sitting in that corner where your home networking is, right? So if you could do it with just the two, then try that route first.
Okay, so modem goes into the mesh.
Yeah.
And then the...
You probably have to log into the Rockspace mesh LAN SSID to set it up, and then see if you can create a new network, and you could just use it that just for your smart devices, and you could still use your other stuff for everything else that you do.
Yeah. Ethernet. So I'm going to need some kind of Ethernet hub. So, okay. So what do you recommend? I see TP-Link. They have eight ports. See, I think I'm going to need more than just eight. I almost should run downstairs real quick while we're still recording this. Is eight the most you could use?
No, they have more than eight. Depends on how much money you want to spend, though, right? Like
Netgear has a 16 one.
Is that really necessary?
16 gigs or 16 ports?
16 no. ports. That's not nearly necessary, man. Most people can get away with 5 to 10. Most people.
I'm not most people. I'm a little extra. Okay. So do you want to explain to them what all this stuff is? I'm going to run downstairs, look at how many plugs I actually need, and I'll be right back. Give me about like 30 seconds.
Sure. I guess ready? I could do that.
There you go.
All right. So what he's looking at is his LAN ports on his router. So on the back, how many Ethernet ports can you have, or how many devices can you plug in, right? Switches are great. I honestly believe that everybody should own an Ethernet switch. It saves you for when you need to connect multiple devices. We always tell people it's usually better to hardwire device versus Wi-Fi. You can get better latencies. And a lot of times I tell people, latency is better than speed. You could get a gigabyte a second, but if your latency is bad, you're going to have instability issues. You're going to have, you know, buffering. You're going to have all kinds of stuff. It doesn't matter how fast you're going. It's how consistent your speed is, right? I give the example of, you know, a drunk driver. Let's say, you know, a drunk driver can speed, but the accuracy of their driving is going to be terrible. So it doesn't matter how fast you're going. If your latency is off, which is the speed of which your network communicates with the internet, right? Not the speed of how fast it can transfer the data, but how accurately it can do so, then it doesn't make any sense, right? So you want to hardwire your shit. So what you got?
I have 7.
Are you using 7?
I'm using all 7, and I think there might be like 1 or 2 that's not plugged in. I hate to get 8 because it's putting me right down to the wire, but I think I can get away with 8. Look, I would like to, if there's one for 10, I would rather get one that's 10 though.
What's your budget?
What budget?
Well, TrendNet has a 16 port for $65 a micro center.
Didn't you say 16 is too many?
Yeah, but it's $65. I'm just saying, like, how much is this one? I don't even know that brand. Hold on.
Netgear has one.
Too high. D-Link has a 20. Well, that's only 100 speed. You don't want 100 speed. Let's see. I don't know these brands. Let me see if I can find a brand that I.
So TP-Link has a 8 port gigabyte unmanned Ethernet network switch, Ethernet splitter, plug and play, fanless metal design, shielded ports, traffic optimization. Here, I'm going to share this with you. So this is what they got. It looks like it just goes from 8 to 16. I don't see 10.
What is this, 8?
8.
Yeah, that's $18. That's nothing. And that's gigabit. I mean, that's pretty freaking easy.
So the way it works is I'm going to go from my mesh into the number 1 port. And then everything else goes. Oh no, it's number 8. You see it right above number 8 says link.
Yeah.
So it's going to be number 8, right? From the mesh into this.
Should be. Let me just double check mine right here. I have a D-Link right here. And with my D-Link, I'm actually plugged into number 1. My D-Link's actually plugged into number 1. But I mean, that could be different depending on the product, right? Why is my ear ringing all of a sudden? That's weird.
That is weird. I think I should be able to get away. So they have a 16 port that looks pretty nice. $69. But I think I should be able to get away with the 8 port because I think I want to say I do have 7 things plugged in. And this will take 7. Right?
Yeah. That'll take 7.
Okay, I'm gonna.
That's gigabit speed?
I think so. 8 port gigabit.
Honestly, that's a really good price. What is the regular price on that?
$20.
I think that's pretty damn cheap because I'm looking at Micro Center and these things are like $60 minimum.
The 69, there's a $69 over here. 69 for 16 ports.
Yeah, but you don't need 16 ports.
16 ports is a lot.
Like, honestly, you get a 16 port, you're going to end up with a rat's nest that you're not going to be happy with.
Yeah, you know how I am.
You'll end up just plugging in everything. You're like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Okay, proceed to checkout. All right, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I think I was just explaining, I think everybody should have a switch. because they're just really nice little devices that come in handy. You never know when, right? I think, okay, let's talk a little bit about networking. So right now I am running rigs in a couple different places. And the way that I've been doing it is that I need to have as low as possible latencies in order to get the best productivity out of it. So I've been buying powerline adapters. And if I buy a powerline adapter, they generally have two Ethernet jacks on the bottom, but I can run one of those Ethernet ports to a switch, like a five port switch. And if I wanted to connect all five of my rigs to the same powerline adapter, switches come in handy. They do. And I've been buying, one of the things that I learned recently that I didn't know was that powerline adapters all use the same technology, and you can actually mix and match the brands. I didn't know you could do that before. Hmm. So originally I had TP-Links, and I seen Netgears just went on sale for, apparently we're having a Black Friday here. I don't know. Weird. So yeah. I picked up a bunch of the Netgears. And the one thing that you want to keep in mind is that your powerline network will only be as fast as your slowest adapter.
Hmm.
This is something that I just learned recently. So let's say you have a bunch of 2 gig powerline adapters and you buy a cheap 1300 or 1200, right? Your whole powerline network that you built in your home will only go over 1200 because you've added this 1200 powerline adapter to it. It like nerfs the rest of your, I could be wrong. This is just what I'm reading online, but you would just want to make sure that they're the same speeds. It doesn't matter about brand because they use the same technology. It matters about speed. So if you're buying a bunch of these powerline adapters, make sure that they're running at the same speed. And I advise, if you're buying one of them, don't go cheap. Like, get one with an actual outlet built into it, because you're going to want to use that outlet. A lot of times they're big, they're bulky, they take up, you know, space. It's sometimes hard to fit like a three prong plug, like one with the ground, into the outlet above it, right? So you're going to want to have that extra outlet. And they're not generally that much more expensive than the ones without the outlets, but I love powerline adapters. I love network switches. They come in handy. Believe me, everybody should have a pair of those.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going on sale for this holiday season. And I know it sounds stupid, but honestly, I'm a nerd. I wouldn't mind that as a gift if somebody gave me, you know, a network switch or a powerline adapter as a gift. You know what I mean? It comes in handy. I think everyone would appreciate it. You know, if you have a gamer or a streamer, they're going to want that low latency. So getting them a powerline adapter or a network switch might actually be more appreciated than we think.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. For sure. Okay. I got my order in.
Yeah.
A little nervous, but yeah, got it. Got the order in. I'm going to try messing with what I have right now, and hopefully I could,
for sure.
You know, I do like that Wi-Fi 6. My phone does Wi-Fi 6.
Yeah. Mine does too.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. I've never noticed that symbol before. And then I saw it at the new place, because the ISP actually gave us, listen to that. The ISP at the new place gave us a Wi-Fi 6 modem.
Nice.
ISPs don't do that.
Did they give it to you where you get all three? You could choose your bands?
Well, yeah, I was able to go in and disable the band steering, so I made my separate bands. But the only thing is, it doesn't give me the Wi-Fi 6 as a separate. It's kind of like an extension of the Wi-Fi 5.
Hmm.
So I didn't really understand that, because it's technically my first Wi-Fi 6 modem, because I haven't bought another. I haven't had a need to. Like I said, everything here is straight Ethernet. Mm. Everything I use in this place is straight Ethernet. So I never really needed to use Wi-Fi 6. So I didn't really know how it's supposed to appear. And the person, when I called them on the phone, was like, I want to be able to connect directly to the Wi-Fi 6 network. And they're like, no, there's no such thing. And I was like, what? So I don't have too much experience with Wi-Fi 6. I understand how it works, but I don't have a modem that specifically gives me that band.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm guess we'll see what happens. You know what I was thinking? that 16 port. It was $69.
Yeah.
I could just get two of the eights.
It would be cheaper. Yeah.
But you know me, I don't want freaking cables all over the place.
Yeah.
Daisy chain to daisy chain.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. We'll figure this out for sure. Okay. I think. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be messing with this thing in a little bit. I'm going to play with it. And then afterwards, I'll probably do a follow up, like how this works, what it's been doing. And because, yeah, when I did that video, it was like, cool, it works. Here it is. And I was done. And then I need to find that video. I'm pretty sure it's easy. I'll figure out how to do it. But it's pretty much just plug and play. I'm just wondering if I need to call my ISP, if I need to tell them like to activate it or not.
I don't see why, unless you're changing the actual modem. I would try it and see, but.
Well, when you put in a different router, they ask you for the number to allow it.
Yeah, you got to check it out. See if it works, then you don't. If it doesn't, then give them a call.
I'll be yelling at them. Cool. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Yeah, man, we've been already an hour into the BS show. I told you guys we're going to be messing around with some stuff so that way you guys can see exactly how we like work with this stuff, because we try to learn. But make sure you guys leave us a comment below, leave us a review, share it with a friend. Make sure you guys subscribe, hit that thumbs up. Check the description below, because we do have a lot of good affiliates there that we recommend. BuzzTV is some great stuff. That VPN down there has some great, great stuff. Next level, anything you got to say before we get the hell out of here?
You know, I think that was a really good kickoff to the holiday season. You know, we all are trying to get into smart home networking, smart home devices, smart tech in general. And, you know, sometimes our tech is only as smart or only as good as our network. So it's a good idea to revisit what's your networking situation in your home. We are kind of curious here at Beyond the Stream. So just let us know in the comments section down below what your home network looks like. Are you using your ISP stuff? Are you using something third party? Are you using a mesh system, which are becoming more and more popular as we go on? Mesh systems originally started off with two or three brands, and now we have lots of different brands doing mesh systems. So pretty cool stuff. As I usually say, guys, or as we usually say, make sure that you leave us those comments in the comment section down below. Make sure you leave us a review if you're listening to us on the audio side to help other people like yourself find the content that you enjoy. Make sure that you're coming out to the live streams that happen every Thursday around 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to be a part of the conversation and be a part of the community, and check us out when we're live. And as always, guys, we appreciate everything that you guys do to keep us going and keep us creating content. And we'll see you guys on the next one. Peace.